Good morning. My name is Nancy Gravy. I'm a Dame of Malta from the New Jersey area, and I would like to welcome the American, Federal, and Western Association members to February Spiritual Outreach Call. It is my pleasure to introduce our speaker today, Father Platt. Father Platt is a native of Trumbull, Connecticut. He is a graduate of St. Joseph High School in Trumbull and Fairfield University, where he earned a degree in English with a certification to teach. Immediately after college, he served as a member of the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, teaching at Dolores Mission Parish in East Los Angeles, subsequently made famous in the New York Times bestseller written by Father Gregory Boyle, S.J. He spent his first year of theological formation at the Pontifical North American College at the Vatican, before completing his formation at the Catholic University of America. Bishop Walter Curtis ordained him as a priest on April 9, 1988, at St. Augustine Cathedral. Father Platt is currently the pastor of the parish of St. Catherine of Siena in St. Agnes. He became a chaplain in the association in 2014 and currently serves as a magistral chaplain in the Connecticut area. Welcome, Father Platt, and I give you Father Platt.
Thank you so very much. Can everyone hear me, I hope, right? Okay.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning, and I thought on this, the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, we could begin with the opening prayer for Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty and ever-living God, we humbly implore your majesty that just as your only begotten Son was presented on this day in the temple in the substance of our flesh, so by your grace we may be presented to you with minds made pure. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When first asked to share my thoughts on the topic of what can I do as an individual to participate in the World Day of the Sick beyond attending Mass, I of course went to the obvious, visit the sick. As a corporal work of mercy, it is familiar to us as members of the Order of Malta. It is part of our culture, everything from referring to our beloved malades to the very nature of the order itself, to care for the poor and the sick. It is what motivates and sustains us. We often speak of having received more from caring for the ill than we feel we have given. It is especially true for those of us who have had the blessing to make the Lord's pilgrimage. This year, however, there isn't going to be a Lord's pilgrimage for the American Association of the Order. Our longing to return has been, like so many other things in the past 2 years, deferred. Things have changed. Even our ability to visit freely in hospitals and nursing homes has changed. Many institutions are not permitting visitation by Eucharistic ministers or other pastoral visiting. Without this ability, my thoughts went back to the topic. What then can I do on the World Day of the Sick if the obvious is impossible? Perhaps this year, what we can do for the World Day of the Sick is to pray for our own wounded hearts as well as the hearts of others, to seek out spiritual companions to bring healing to our souls. We in the order tend to be very comfortable in giving to those in need, being the strength for others. Are we willing to admit our own deep and profound vulnerability and weakness, allowing God to be our only strength? Are we willing to allow others to be our spiritual companions and to minister to us? One of my favorite biblical passages is from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus returned some days later to Capernaum, the word quickly spread that he was at home. Such large multitudes gathered there that no longer was any space available, even in front of the door, and he was preaching to them. Some people arrived, bringing to him a man who was paralyzed, carried by four men. Since they were unable to bring him near Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above him, and then lowered the bed on which the paralyzed man was lying. On perceiving their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Further on in the passage, Jesus also heals the paralytic of his physical infirmity. Imagine witnessing this event. Men carrying their paralyzed friend to a rooftop, opening the roof, and carefully lowering him in front of the Lord. And the scripture tells us that when Jesus perceived their faith, he both forgave his sins and healed his paralysis. It doesn't say his faith, interestingly. It says their faith. Sometimes our hearts may be so very wounded by hardship or trauma that we become paralyzed with fear. We need others to lower us to the feet of the Lord for healing. We can't do it for ourselves. We need others to do it for us. We need them to be our faith when our faith is bruised and battered. And our friends will open the roof and lower us for healing. At the time of 9/11, I was a hospital chaplain at Greenwich Hospital in Greenwich, Connecticut. The chaplains did a course of study called CISM, Critical Incident Stress Management. It teaches how to debrief people after a traumatic event. Trauma is considered any event that calls into question our commonly held beliefs, dramatically and suddenly changing our lives. The hope is that in debriefing people, they may avoid post-traumatic stress disorder. A key element is that the one doing the debriefing was not involved in the traumatic event itself. What then with the effects of the pandemic? We all have been involved. We thank God for heroic men and women who have served and continue to serve on the front lines of this traumatic event. They have put their own psychic and physical wellness on the line for us. We thank God for the strength he provides when our own spiritual resources may be slim. And finally, we thank God for our spiritual companions who open the roof for us to experience the healing love of God. As mentioned, the whole world has been traumatized by the last 2 years. people dying long before what would be expected, supply chains disrupted, economies shaken, travel limited, long periods of isolation, political acrimony, and uncertainty about the future. Most commonly held beliefs were thrown into question quickly, suddenly, changing our lives. No one was exempted, the world over, whether in China or Italy, the Philippines or Ecuador, the United States or Russia, the entire world over. Christian and Muslim, Jew and Buddhist, all have known the cross. No one untouched. This shared cross can be a profound entryway to global solidarity, religious unity, and racial equality. We all have walked a similar path. It is also a gift to us as members of the Order of Malta as we approach the World Day of the Sick. Together, we have experienced the isolation and fear that accompanies illness. We can now minister to and pray for the sick with an entirely different perspective, as Jesus called his disciples to have new eyes and new ears. Pious encounters, though beautiful and absolutely necessary, pale in comparison to truly journeying with our brothers and sisters experiencing illness and disease. We have walked a similar path. Answers to suffering seem less important than truly suffering with another human being, regardless of national citizenship, religious faith, or racial identity. We have become more fully Catholic because we have become more fully universal as a result of this pandemic. This World Day of the Sick, we ask God to be the balm for our wounds. We ask our brothers and sisters of the Order to be the ones to carry us when paralyzed by fear or doubt, and pray that a shared cross the world over may lead to world peace. Perhaps this is what we may do on this World Day of the Sick, in addition to attending Mass. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children at Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn, then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us, and after this our exile, show us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, Our Lady of Lourdes, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless
Father
you all.
Clyde, thank you so much for your beautiful and inspirational words. We are so grateful and appreciative. I would also like to thank everyone for joining us for February's Spiritual Outreach Call. And may I mention that this call was recorded and will be posted to the American Association website. Please join us for next month's call on Wednesday, March 2nd at 11 a.m. Reverend Monsignor Frank Caldwell will discuss the history and sacred significance of Ash Wednesday. Again, thank you, Father Platt, and may you all have a blessed day. Goodbye.